Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. And today we speak about those who do violence, who force the kingdom of God. Force their way in. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we remember the Reformation. We remember the Reformation begun when Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses in Wittenberg. Now, there were problems in Martin Luther's day. The Pope and his bishops, well, they tended to see the kingdom of God kind of like a bank where Christ and the saints, well, they deposited their righteousness, and the Pope and the church, well, they could give it out to people. Christ made the deposit, and the bankers, the Pope and the church, could give it out through sacramental rites. And when they saw fit, also through indulgences. One guesses the system was probably thought of because the Pope and his bishops worked a lot with banks. They were busy trying to finance St. Peter. And when they get familiar with banking and money, when they need a lot of money, suddenly everything looks like money and banking. Even the kingdom of God. So indulgences and church titles were sold. They were sold as a stand-in for grace. The church sold the very gifts that Christ gives. And instead of Christ on a cross being preached to people, so they could believe as he was preached, Christ was used to sell indulgences, to sell papers, to sell titles. Now, Martin Luther was not the only one opposed to this, but those others who were opposed thought maybe they could reform the church by making a better people who maybe weren't so crass in their greed. And with a scripture that was written in Latin that many of the priests could not even understand, there was no one to oppose the abuse, the violence done to God's kingdom. No one until God used Luther to expound, to translate scripture, to put it forth. To put it forth not just in name, but also for use as the actual word of God. Written so the people could understand it, so they could see God put clearly forth, they could see Christ crucified, that Christ died for many, that they too could enter the kingdom of God, not through sale, not through right action, but by faith in what God had done for them. That was Martin Luther's day. And when Martin Luther proclaimed, in that first year and years that followed, the word was preached again. And even then, from an earthly standpoint, it didn't look much like a triumph. Men still wanted the kingdom their way. They opposed Luther. They opposed God. In the figurative violence that they'd done to his word, when they'd substituted their own words for what Scripture said, when they'd preach the gospel to the bank or the gospel of just be better people, that word suffered actual physical violence as these forceful men opposed its preaching and wars were fought. Men and women were killed. so that men could force a message different than that given in Scripture. That Christ died for a people. That is, and they fought wars to make it say something else. And yet, even amidst the violence, even those who supported Luther were eventually thrown down, the Bible was translated. God's word was heard. The kingdom still abides. Christ's death and resurrection for us is complete, and we can trust in that still, as the word tells us. But you know what? We can say that's what it was like in 1517, but it really wasn't so different in Christ's day either. God had called his people to repent through his word, given through the prophets, even through John the Baptist. And one group, the Sadducees, led by the chief priests, well, they barely believed in God. And they certainly believed in no supernatural act that he'd done. But they did understand exactly how lucrative the temple worship was for them. How they could sell the gifts that they had, even the temple sacrifices, and make a nice profit. Not one that was hard to see like the kingdom of God, but one that they could see, one they could touch. Another group, and these were reformers, but another group, the Pharisees, thought that a stricter adherence to God's law would bring God's kingdom. And that was an adherence that they thought they were ready to lead. And when God came and proclaimed his word through the prophets, through Jesus, through John the Baptist, they did not look on it as a call to repent, but instead they mined it, tried to find a way to get it on their side. To say that their word is what mattered and God could prove it. They let God have a supporting role for their word. That's what's going on when Jesus said that forceful men are forcing their way into the kingdom. And if they couldn't force God's word to follow their dictates, well, they turned against the messengers that God had sent. In the Old Testament, Joshua, when he was leading the armies of Israel, and they approached Jericho, came upon a man with a sword. And he asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the man said, "Neither. But as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come." God himself spoke to Joshua, and Joshua humbled himself. Joshua fell on his face before God. That was not the response of these new self-proclaimed leaders of Israel. They denied and killed those that the Lord sent. They were forcing the way in, making the kingdom in their image, substituting their word for God's. And yet, even in Jesus' day, as in Martin Luther's, God is present in his word. Even though the prophets died, even though Jesus himself was crucified and killed on the cross, God's word remained. Christ rose on the third day to give life and light to a world that needed it. The word remains. And what about us? Well, I ask, did any of you have some trouble singing back when we were meeting with YouTube? When we were meeting remotely? I did. I did because I found that when I was listening to YouTube, and if I hadn't turned the volume up high enough, when I was singing, I sang too loudly for the sound, and I could no longer follow the tune. I wandered off on my own to a different tune and a different beat. I found it's good that we can meet here with an organ and have the tune louder than I can sing. It helps keep me on track. And maybe you've had the same problem, staying on track. It's not such a big deal when it's with music. It's far worse when God speaks. How much worse when the chief priests and the Pharisees went off track, when they listened to their own voices and let them drown out God's word? How much worse with the Pope and his bishops? What depravity, what baseness, what evil was promoted? When not just the Pope, but even those humanists who said they should try to be better preferred their own word to God's word. But really, it's not just those two instances, is it? We can go back to the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve, who wanted to help God out by adding words to make his kingdom better. God might have said, "Do not eat of the fruit in the center of the garden." But he didn't know how pleasing it was to the eye, that it was good for food, that it'd make one wise. And surely if he'd understood that, God would have wanted them to eat it. You can see Eve's reasoning. You can see Adam's reasoning. That they were to actually expand God's kingdom and make it better. What violence was done when Adam and Eve helped God out? Because they ate and sin entered the world, and it's no different for us today. They could have said from time of the prophets till John the Baptist, but it could go on from beginning until now. How often we do the same. And often we'd like to just point to the other people and say, look at how they ignore God's word, and say that peace, the peace that we hope comes from God's kingdom, is really about accepting everyone, even sin. That it's about tearing down structures that represent something bad. It's easy to point the finger there, and that might be true. But the problem is that the law points back at us. That we also force the kingdom of God to be what we want it to be. We force it to be saying the right slogans, dressing the right way, sharing the right opinions. And we get on the internet and we wear our shirts and we shout it so loud that God's word can barely be heard above it, if it can be. Now, don't take this completely wrong. God's word does speak on many of the matters of our day. But so often we shout so much, we treat the matters of our day as if they are the kingdom of God. And we join with the humanist reformers who looked to better people instead of God's word in Luther's day. In fact, Christ clearly tells us, don't worry so much about the events of the day, what you eat or what you drink or what you'll wear. He says, seek the kingdom, that very kingdom he gives through his death and resurrection, that very kingdom given in God's word. With John the Baptist, Christ also says, repent, that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of making other things be the kingdom. Christ went to a cross, and there he defeated death. Christ shows there is no other victory for us. There is no other kingdom. Because death has been defeated for us, and no one else could do it. He shows us how right God is to say that He is the only way, that you shall have no other gods. When he adds, explains what God said even more, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we add anything or take away from what God has said, we force our views to be entry into the kingdom. And when we force our views to be entry into the kingdom, we deny Christ, who is the center of the kingdom. The door. The gate. Luther saw that entrance was just through Christ, not his own actions. Not rites, but through Christ. May we do the same. Today, let us hear God's word. Let no one force other views into the kingdom. And don't be led astray when other people say it's really about reducing your carbon footprint, when they say it's about accepting everyone regardless of what they do. Don't be led astray to say that that's the kingdom. But even more, don't be led astray from God's word by your own thoughts, by saying we'll fight and make better people. Instead, proclaim Christ. Listen to Christ. There is a Savior. It's not you. It's Christ. He is proclaimed in God's word, and he speaks in God's word. So listen to him. Listen to God's word, that he may live in you, that you may have life. Let God have its way, his way. Don't force your way on him. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.